How many want to expand your heart tonight? How many want to expand your heart tonight? I want to talk to you today about developing a joyful heart. Last week we talked about developing a heart of peace. Tonight I want to talk about developing a heart of joy. That there would be that you would start to develop joy. You ever been around somebody who's full of joy? And isn't that nice to be around somebody like that? It's just great. I want to, and how many know that's how we should be? God's people should be full of joy. Last week we said God's people should be full of peace. God's people should be full of joy. And I want to show you some practical. I appreciate the Word of God because it's so practical. It is a book that you can learn principles to live by. And if you will apply these principles in your life, I'm telling you what, they will cause your life to be full of, here, this deep, full of fullness. And one of the things that God wants you to be is He wants you to be full of joy. Now, we looked at the portion of Scripture in Proverbs that says we need to protect our heart with all diligence. Everybody say all diligence. Our heart is so critical that we protect it and develop it because out of our heart brings the boundaries that you're going to be able to accomplish in your life. And so your heart is critical that you develop those things in your life because what they're going to do is your heart, let me tell you what your heart will do. Your heart will really set limits to how far you can progress. And that's why it's so important that you protect your heart because there's all kinds of realities, spiritual realities that are trying to invade your heart and steal. The Bible says Satan doesn't come except for one thing, to steal, kill, and destroy. And what's he aimed at? He's aimed at you. You being your heart, being the center of who you are, who you really are. And so you've got to protect it and you've got to make a decision. Everybody say decision. Decision. To protect your heart. One of the importance, and we're going to preach on this soon, going over the power series, I'm going to teach you on the power of you being at church. But being at church is really developing and protecting your heart. Because there's this repetitive learning and learning and line upon line and precept upon precept and here a little, there a little. You know what? You get something on Wednesday, then you come Sunday, then you get something on Sunday, then you come back Wednesday, and then you get something, and you're here or there, and then you come to Men of Hope, and then you know what? Come to the men's breakfast, and then you know what? And then you get in Academy of Righteousness, and you just do this stuff, and it's just boom, 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 boom. And what are you doing? You're protecting your heart. You're watering the things of God, and all of a sudden, it's just like the Grinch. Remember his heart grew? Remember this? And so, yeah, I'll show it to you next week. Don't quote me, though, because I don't know if I will. Okay, but the point is, you know what? What you're doing is you're really growing your character, and that's who your heart is. And so I want to talk to you today about becoming the person that God wants you to be, becoming a person of joy. Say joy. Becoming a joyful person. Let's open up our Bibles to Isaiah. Isaiah is about in the middle of your Bible, okay? Isaiah. And let's look at chapter 35 of Isaiah. Chapter 35. And let's start with verse 1. Isaiah 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. The what shall rejoice and blossom as a rose? The what? Come on. This is a training center. The what? The desert. Everybody say the desert. The desert. Everybody say desert. See, well, but Pastor, you don't understand why you don't understand why I'm so miserable. Hey, listen, desert. Okay. Understand, you ain't supposed to stay a desert, amen. And hey, we all got reasons, do we not? We all got reasons why we could be sour and miserable and grumpy. We all got reasons. Amen. But the word is speaking to somebody tonight to say, hey, listen, yeah, desert, but the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. How many know roses smell good? Amen. Smell good. They look pretty. You know what? They're a blessing, not a desert. Amen. The desert shall become a rose. What's God saying to us? That, you know what? Yeah, I understand. Yeah, you had a, you got a flat tire on the way to church. You know what? Yeah, maybe you got laid off, you know what, 3 weeks ago. Maybe, you know what? Maybe, you know what? Maybe you're, maybe like me, you know what? The only thing your mom put in the lunch box was a cheese sandwich. Amen? Just cheese. Cheese sandwich. Amen? That's what I used to eat, a cheese sandwich, man. And somebody said, well, yeah, but where's the meat, man? You know, at least you could put some bologna in that, amen? How many know we could cry, but we come up with all kinds of stuff. You know, oh, my love of God, all I had was a cheese sandwich. Well, bless God, amen. I'm a rose, hallelujah. Look at your neighbor, say, you're supposed to be a rose. Okay, not a desert. Amen. Am I speaking to somebody? It shall blossom abundantly and what? And what? Look what it says. It shall. Can I tell you what? Listen. God, okay, we're smiling, right? God has no problem telling you what to do. Why? Here's why. Because not because God is some mean. No. That has nothing to do with it. Here's what it has to do with. God's ways are higher than your ways. And God's ways are better than your ways. And God is way smarter than you. So he has no problem. Just like a good parent. You know, how many know a good parent knows? How many know most parents know more than their four-year-old? Right? So that as that parent who knows more than that four-year-old, he has no problem telling that four-year-old, hey, don't do that. It's not because he doesn't love that four-year-old. It's because he does. And he's taking that authority and he's using that authority. Here, God is using his authorities and he says, you know what? It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice. That's what it shall do. It shall rejoice. Can I tell you what you need to do? You need to rejoice. Yeah, but I had it. But I only, my mom only got me a cheese. Shh. You shall rejoice. So thank God that you got a cheese sandwich. Amen. Amen. Thank God that my mom prepared me a cheese sandwich. Amen. Thank God that she, you know what, gave that to me and provided that for me. Amen. Why? Because what shall I do? I shall rejoice. Amen. I shall rejoice. Even with joy and what? Woo. And singing. And singing. How many of you are morning people? Raise your hand if you're a morning people. Come on, morning people, raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand, morning people. Where are you? Where are my morning people? Okay, now watch this. Now, raise your hand if you're not a morning person. Raise your hand if you're not a morning person. Okay. No. Keep your hand up, non-morning people. Let me keep your hand up. Let me tell you what. Here's what you need to do. Even with what? Joy and what? You see my hand? I'm not a morning person. All right, well, become a morning person. Amen. I love you guys. Are you a desert in the morning? You know, I feel like a Lucille Ball commercial. You know what I mean? Are you tired? Are you liftless or lifeless? You know, vitamin and vitamin. You know what I mean? That's all. Here's what you don't need: vitamin and vitamin. All you need to do is you need to wake up, even with what. With joy and what?
Singing.
Now, all you people who said you're not a morning, come on, you know better than that. You know I'm just setting you up. You know I'm just setting you up, right? I'm just setting you up. Because the truth is, you know what? Even with joy and what? And singing. So here's what you need to do. You need to make a decision that, you know what? You are a morning person. You're a morning person? No, but I'm not. Stop. And make a decision. Because here's the issue with joy. You're going to decide whether you're going to be a person of joy or you're going to decide that you're not going to be a person of joy. It's not up to me. It's not up to your grandma. It's not up to your dog. It's not up to anyone except you, even with joy and what?
Singing.
Even with joy and singing. Watch this. The joy of Lebanon shall be given to it, and the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of God, of our God. Strengthen the weak hands, and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearfully hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold your God, do not fear. Behold your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you.
Amen.
What are you doing? You're proclaiming who God is. You're proclaiming who God is. Then the eyes of the blind shall be what? Open. See, watch this. Then. See, let me tell you what. There's something that happens when you start proclaiming what God is and what he's going to do. You know what this is tapping into? You know what this is tapping into? The power, I preached on it 2 weeks ago, the power of thanksgiving. That's what this is talking about. Tapping into. I'm going to proclaim who God is before it is. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. You want to see some supernatural things take place in your life? Start singing. Oh, this is good. You came in. Look at your neighbor. Say, you came in a good Wednesday. No. Not moaning, not complaining, not being grumpy, not... Guys, if you raised up your hand, you're a morning person. I'm not trying to slam you. I'm just trying to be real with you. Amen? You know what? I'm not a morning person. Get your hand down. You are, too, a morning person. Amen? You're a morning person, praise God. You're an afternoon person. You're a night person. You are just, you know what? You are a singing person, amen? And watch this, when that happens, then that, go back. When that happens, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Please connect the dots. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Then the deaf ear shall be unstopped. You can go on now, 6. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the lame and the tongue of the dumb sing. For the water shall burst forth
In the what?
Oh, you see? The desert. No. It's going to be like a rose. For the water shall burst forth in the wilderness and the streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool. Amen. And the thirsty land springs of water. And the inhabitants of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Watch this. The highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of what? The highway of holiness. What are you creating? You're creating a whole new dimension. Do you see it? Of what was not there, but it's now there. How did you create that? You started singing. You started declaring that what God said is true. And you started doing it. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. Watch this. What you're going to start create? Do you understand what you're going to do? You're going to start creating this pathway for ungodly people to come into the kingdom of God. They're going to come over your house. You're going to say, man, I'll tell you what. And the joy of the Lord is going to just jump off of you onto them. Can I tell you what? Spirituality is contagious. You look at the New Testament, how many times somebody gets saved and all of a sudden it'll say, oh, and by the way, they went home and got everybody in their household saved. Over and over and over you'll see that. But let me tell you what we have so been fed a lie of, you know what, how do you feel? How do you feel? How do you feel? We've exalted our feelings. Can I tell you what? That's, you know, when the Bible says at the end days, perilous times will come. You know what part of that perilous times are? Because men will become lovers of self. It's all about how they feel, how they feel in you. You know what? We are a country of, we have become a country of victims. No, seriously. You know what? Exactly. Walk around with a chip on it. I mean, you offended me. And what is that all about? It's all about you. Hey, desert, become a rose. Amen. Start to sing. And what you're going to do is you're going to turn this whole thing around. Because let me tell you what, you and I are called. Is somebody catching this? You and I are called, we talked about Sunday, to take dominion. We are called to be light and salt and make a difference in our world. And how do we make a difference in our world? Well, we got to start by making a difference in our family. We got to start by making a difference in our home. You know what? Then you come from work, you had hard day's work, you know what I mean? You walk in like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, you know. You know what I mean? It's like, No, you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be walking like that. You ought to skip in on the way home. Amen. Man, what's with dad? He's skipping. You know, what's with dad? You know? Go skipping and singing. Amen. Amen. And wives, can I tell you wives in a minute? You know what? And when they come in, man, you ought to be, whoa, man, daddy's home. Whoa. What are you doing? You're creating this sense of joy in your household. Let me tell you what, you're pleasing God. You're making this whole atmosphere. And you say, Pastor, that's just sounds, you know what, it's like, oh my goodness. You know, Pastor, you got your head in the clouds. No, I got my head in the Bible. See, we need to start taking the Bible and making application into our homes. You can create this atmosphere. Guys, I need this back up on the screen. You need to create an atmosphere that others shall not go astray. There's this atmosphere. There's this holy road, and you've created it. And people who, you know what, they just are infected by the joy that is expressed, listen to me, the Bible's practical, through your singing and through your praising. Are you hearing what God is speaking to somebody? Are you learning something? Verse 9. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with what?
Singing.
Yeah, now they're singing, okay? With everlasting what? With everlasting what?
Joy.
That's what we're talking about. Everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and singing shall what? And sighing. I'm not singing. And sorrow and sighing shall what? Okay, how did,
No, Pastor,
it was a cheese sandwich, my mom. Hey, get over the cheese sandwich, amen? Get over it. And recognize, listen, to whom much is given, much is required. Recognize the power that you have to change circumstances in your life. All right, are you learning something? All right, let's talk about some. So, one way that we do this is we understand our responsibility that this is on us, number one. Number two, we understand that it's our responsibility to start to sing the character of God and what he's going to do. Anyway, I'm going to say number one, but this is really number three. Okay, so whatever. Number one, but it's number three. There are some things that we need to do. Number three, we need to do this. We need to strengthen those who are weak. Do you see it in verse three? Look what it says, the first part of verse three. Look what it says. Strengthen the what? Strengthen the what? The weak hands. So, listen. One of the things that is so practical for you to bring this joy into your life is for you to get outside of yourself. Perilous times will come because men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. First two commandments, God, love the Lord your God, all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Opposite, watch this, connect the dots. Opposite, perilous times will come because men will become lovers of themselves. So you want to create more joy? You know what? Number one, start understanding the goodness of God and what he has proclaimed. Start proclaiming that. Number two, start to sing it. Number three, start to be focused on strengthening those who have weak hands around you. Start to focus on strengthening. You know what I've noticed? Many people who are not joyous, you know something that they have in common? They're very self-centered. They're very conscious and cognizant of how they feel and how others are making them feel. Okay, listen. One of the ways that you can create joy in your life is start to be caring about other people and how they feel. And being aware of their weakness. You know, how many know there's weak people all around you probably every single day? And if you would just be sensitive and start to recognize, hey, you can help them. You can strengthen their weakness. You know, how does that take place? The applications are endless. You know what I mean? You can figure somebody who, you know what, an older person who maybe they used to be able to do their yard work, but they can't do it so well. And you can simply just say, hey, can we come on over, and help you out? You know what? Think about just situations in your life of people who you can connect with that you can just help them. because again, the applications are endless. But when you'll start to focus on somebody else instead of focusing on yourself, see, the command is that you would strengthen these hands that are around you that are weak. And there are people all around you. You know, for many people, they just need to be encouraged. They just need to be reminded, you know what, that God is good and it's not so bad. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe you just need to sing them a song. You know what I mean? Right? What was that one? What was that that little girl? What was her name? Annie used to sing. You know what I mean? How does that go? Okay, maybe you just need to sing them a song. You know what I mean? The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom. You say, Pastor, that's ridiculous. Well, you know, I don't know that that's so ridiculous. You know what I mean? I mean, you are the salt of the earth. Can you have some person? You know, say, Pastor, that's not. You know, listen, you'll be surprised who you are. When I worked in the grocery store, and I told you this story many times, but I'm so convinced. Because let me tell you about the grocery store. No, there was a, listen, there in your workplace, there's spiritual strongholds. And the grocery store, the spiritual stronghold of just this, like, my life sucks. This job sucks. You know what the number one question was? Number one question. Tamara, what's the number one question in the grocery store? Yeah, what, the number one question, what time you get off? You know what the number two question, Tamara, what's the number two question in the grocery store? When's your break? What? I'm serious. Those were the two most prevalent questions in the grocery store. What time you get off? What time's your break? Listen, I don't know what it's about, but I'm convinced it was just a stronghold. It just was awful. You know what I mean? But Pastor, what'd you do about it? I just would sing. And for whatever reason, you know what? I just thought it was funny. Part of the joy, I used to sing out of tune. Loudly out of tune. And I'd sing songs particularly that were way out of my octave. Way out of my octave. Sing a song. Make it. See what I'm picking that song because the range is like this. I'm doing it on purpose. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. Do 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 do. See, now, for the grace of God, I'm not going to even try to hit that note. But in the grocery store, I would try to hit that note. This was my retro, what do they call that? You are funny. Repertoire. This was my repertoire. What was another song I used to like to sing? Oh, you know what my mama used to say? You know what my mama used to say? I'd ask the customer, you know what my mama used to say? And what did they say? What? She said, stop in the name of love before I break your heart. Pastor, that's crazy. I'm telling you what it used to do. We would, I tell you what, I fought that stronghold of break. I fought it. And let me tell you what, I used to get on the microphone. Who asked you to do this? Nobody asked me to do this. You were bold. Okay, what are they going to do? You know what? Write me up. Ooh, this guy's way too happy. What are you going to do? Yeah, so I said, get up. I said this to you, but I learned it in the grocery store. I used to get on the mic and say, hey, just want to let you know what? Albertson's Shoppers. I know you're happy and hilarious today because we have such deals going on. Let me tell you what we got on going on aisle one. On aisle one, we have a special. We have soda for 99 cents for a 2 liter. That's right, 99 cents for a 2 liter. But special today, we're going to sell you 4 2 liters for $3. Amen. That's right. No, did I say four? No, we're going to sell, yeah, 4 4 liters only for $3.96. But that special only lasts for an hour. And these customers are being like, hey. Let me tell you this true story. I did this often enough and just all kinds of things on the intercom. And pretty soon, true story, a manager called me one time. And they started doing this. They'd call me and say, hey, Drew, can you make some of those announcements? Heck yeah, I can. Heck yeah, I can. Who was the she had red hair, and she was the announcer for Lucky's. What was her name? Yeah, hey, listen, if you don't watch it, I'm taking Stephanie's job, guys. I'm serious. You say, Pastor, but that's, listen, I don't, that might not be you. But can I tell you the truth? You can ask Aline. You can ask Fred and Aline, because Fred and Aline knew me. You know what? I don't really know. I don't really know. I am one of the most quietest, introverted people, this true story, that I know. Well, Pastor, how come you're doing that? Because let me tell you what. Because we need to start to understand our responsibility to bring a life to a dead place. We are so used to saying, no, you love you guys. Again, I'm sorry. I set you guys up so bad. I really honestly apologize because I didn't know how much I was going to use it. But we are so bad. You know, how many of you are not morning people? Again, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm not trying to call you out or anything. I'm just, thank you. I'm just pointing out. See, we're so quick to do that. And the Holy Spirit has showed me, you know what, Drew, I put you on this earth to do what I'm telling you to do. And you are so quick to tell me you don't feel like it, it's not your personality type. Well, I don't I'm not a singer. Well, we'll start to be a singer. Because let me tell you what, everything depends on it. Amen. What am I saying? What am I doing? I'm strengthening these weak hands that are all around me. That's what I'm doing. Are you learning something today? Number one. Let's go over a couple of scriptures real quick. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 11:25. Proverbs 11:25. Look what it says. And this is so cool because this can be for you. The generous person will what? Prosper. Whoever what? Refreshes others will be what? Now as I'm, you know, la 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 la. I used to sing this. It was one of these, my favorite. If you leave me now, you take away the very heart of me. Why did I sing that song? Well, you know, because right here. Do, 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 do. Honey, please don't go. It wasn't about the song. It was just about what song has the biggest octave. Because that's that I cannot hit. That's the song I want to sing. Okay, here, Pastor, what's your point? Am I doing, what do you think was happening to me? Because let me tell you what, I was in the grocery store too. And some of those shifts, you know what I mean, were like, get off, when's my break? But let me tell you what, that place became, why? Because I'm refreshing others. What's happening to me? I'm feeling refreshed. I'm feeling refreshed. The NIV says it like this. Oh, yeah, he refreshes. others will be refreshed. Okay? Jesus said it like this: give and it will be given back. See, we get so full. Yeah, but wait, get off of you. Here's the power of you can just create joy in your life by getting off of you and onto others. Because what happens as you start to do that, it just, the promise of give and it will be given. The promise of refresh and you'll be refreshed. You know what? Joel Osteen's mom, who was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and was told she had less than a year to live, you know what she did? She started going to others who were diagnosed terminally ill with cancer. And she started focusing on them and praying for them and encouraging them. I forget, she was said that she was going to die, had 1 year to live. That was like over 30-something years ago. Thank you, Jesus. Well, what is happening? This principle, she's refreshing others, and she is the one, as she's refreshing others, others are being refreshed. Give, and it will be what? Give it. What are you doing? You're not focusing on you. Now you're focusing on others. And when you do that, all of a sudden, the things that are, I'm telling you what, I who is the most joyful person, you know what, at Albertsons? I was. Amen. That's true. I was. You know what I mean? And watch this. And here's what you need to understand. See, here's what you have to get. Who is responsible for that? Not Jesus. I was responsible for that. You shall sing. See, God knows, but whether you're obedient to do what he asks us to do is not up to him, it's up to us. But see, I'm creating that whole thing. I'm creating that for others. You know, to what extent, I don't know. I tell you what, it was sure a lot better than it was before I started singing. Amen. Well, I can't do that. Please. Please, and stop raising your hand when I say, who's not a Mormon? Stop it! Stop it! All right, you know I love you though, right? Okay, just checking. Number 1, 2, 3, 4. Number 4, much like number 1, but I want to just go into a little nuance here. Support those who fall. Support those who fall. You see it again in verse 3, the second part. Strengthen the weak hands. Look, and make firm the what? The weeble knees. The feeble knees. Okay. Yeah, it's like a weeble's wobble, but they don't. Okay, but listen, understand, there's people who are fallen. Let me make this clear what I'm not saying, because there's something going on in the body of Christ that we have to recognize. It's like, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, but we continue to sin. Okay, and there's all kinds of people who are just, oh, just, you know what, just look the other way. You know what? Yeah, they're committing fornication, but just look the other way. Yeah, you get drunk, everyone, well, look the other way. You know, oh, they're smoking pop, just, you know, it's not that bad. And there's this acceptance. Can I tell you what? Sin is sin, and sin will hurt you. And God help pastors who won't proclaim the truth that there's wrong and there's right, and Christians ought to be walking in holiness. Okay. So please, when I talk about the strengthening, guys, can you try to keep the scripture up there? When I'm talking about the strengthening of the supporting those who fall, I'm not talking about support doesn't mean that you're not proclaiming. We are a brother's keeper. Listen, I've made this clear, taught on it a lot. If you are a Christian, then there are realities that God wants you to walk in. Jesus said, you know what? Be holy, for I am holy. Well, I don't know what you're going to do about that. God wants you. Listen, he loves you where you're at. But to think you can come in the body of Christ and just stay where you're at? Yeah, you don't know the news. God didn't die on the cross that you would stay where you're at. Okay, so I'm not talking about, when I'm talking about lifting up the fallen, I'm not talking about, you know what, just look the other way in their sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting beside them and caring enough to lift them up. And let me tell you what that doesn't mean or what that might not look like. It doesn't look like, I know I'm going to step off the camera for just a bit, but I just want to illustrate. It doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean this either. I'm just not going to look at what you're doing. It doesn't mean that either. What it means is this. Hey, bro, let's go to Denny's. Okay. And so we go to Denny's. Oh, yeah. They're pancakes. They're only $2. And when they say they're big and fluffy, they are big and fluffy. And they're good. I'm just saying. Okay, I had to get that out. But here's what I'm saying. When we're at Denny's and we're having these fluffy pancakes, you know what? Then, and for some of you, you have experienced that with me. You have had the love of God expressed to you by your pastor saying, hey, dude, get it together. Okay. That's part of what this means. And it's not in a judgmental way, it's not in a condescending way. But it is in a, hey, come on, man. Come on, dude. How long you been saved? Because, you know what, you've been saved for 8 years and you're still smoking weed? Really? Or whatever it is, you know what I mean? You know? Weed probably really isn't the issue as much as, love you guys, I'm smiling, right? As, you know what, talking about other people that you shouldn't be talking about. Listen, and I've done it, and I'm not. What am I doing? I've gotten 3 people in the church who I knew something was going on. You know what? Called them in my office and said, "Hey, what's up?" Because I heard this, and this one was saying to this one and that one, and I'm pulling them all in my office and say, "Hey, what's up, man?" How many know if you're doing this one-on-one thing, you know, Joe says it's Frank, Frank says it's Sam, and they're all, you know, no, let's get all together and let's see. Pastor, you got the, didn't that make you feel uncomfortable? Yeah, but the Bible tells me, you know what, to firm up these weeble knees, these feeble knees. Right? So all I'm saying, you know what, listen, and please, this needs to be done with the, there's, because I really am hard to teach this because there's a tendency then to people and they go out and they just start just being self-righteous and just tear people up. You do not have permission to be self-righteous and just say whatever you, and start judging everybody. You do have permission to, as you have relationships. See, listen, I've developed a relationship with Tony. And so, you know what? And I'll take Tony out to Denny's and talk to him. Right? And I'll talk to you corporately as the you know, sometimes just the anointing of through the preaching, I'll say some things very direct to you. Why am I doing? Because that's what we're called to do, and you're called to do it too. But you're not called to do it with a self-righteous attitude. You can't do it that way. Okay. Is that making sense? Do you guys got the balance? I got to move on, but hopefully you're catching that. Okay. And then finally, which is number three, but really it's number five. okay. Focus. And this, guys, listen. Don't, just because you've heard this before, please, please, please don't blow it off. Oh, yeah, I know that one. Oh, well, okay. please don't blow this off. Listen to me. Focus on that which is good. You want to increase joy in your life. It's so critical that you start to focus on that which is good. Listen, every single one of you right now, probably today, this week, this last year, the last 5 years, here's what you've experienced. You've experienced a lot of good things going on in your life and a lot of bad things going on in your life. Could somebody raise your hand and say, Pastor, that is true. That is true. But let me tell you what. If you want to move forward in your life, if you want to progress forward, if you want more things to, you know what Job said? Job said, the very thing that I feared has come upon me. I'm telling you what, there's this principle. It's what the Bible says. And he says, finally, brethren, here's what I want you to do. I want you to finally focus on that which is good. It's critical. And let me tell you what, this will affect your level of joy. Let's just evaluate a little bit. You know what I mean? How many know? I praise God. I didn't go to Little League when it was like this. I don't know. I've heard this. You know what? When I was in Little League, they kept score. I don't know. I told you this story before. Went golfing with my buddy. I used to go golfing all the time before I had kids, and I would golf. Not when I say all the time, I say once a week. But I like to golf, and I golf once a week, and it was awesome. When we had Shayla, I just knew that wasn't a season in my life, and it. But anyway, but when I would golf with my friends. It was very competitive. We kept score, you know what I mean? So years later, you know what, a buddy of mine said, hey, Drew, I'm going golfing Saturday. You want to go with me? I said, yeah, that'd be great. So we get out on the first tee, and I'm like, hey, where's your card? Where's the card? You get this card with this little pencil. Where's the card? Oh, I don't keep score. True story. I was like, what are we doing here then? What is the point? You know what I mean? I don't want to just hit a ball. You know what I mean? Anyway. So can we take score a little bit? Because here's what we do. Many of us, we just go through our life and we don't judge ourselves. You know who we're supposed to judge first? So let me just ask you this. Okay. What's the score? What's your joy level score? You know what I mean? Or I'll ask it this way. If you went in the grocery store, who would you be? Would you be the singer? Or would you be the, what time's your break? Okay. Yeah. You judge it. What is your joy level? You know what I mean? Are you a 10 being very full of joy? Are you when you get to work, are you a 3? Are you a 4? Are you a 5? When you get home, could I come over to your home and feel just a sense of joy when I walked in? Is that what you've been able to create? Because let me tell you what, you need to keep score. To whom much is given, much is required. You know what? Many times I think we don't keep score because then we just go, oh, it's not too bad. You know what I'm saying? Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. You know what not too bad means? You're not keeping score. It's just some, you know what? Just generic. No, what's the score? What's the score? Can I tell you what? I can show you how to change your score from a 3 to a 8 in that quick. You know what? Finally, brethren, go ahead, give it to me up on the screen. Philippians chapter 8. Philippians chapter 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, if there is any, watch this, if there's any, guys, virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know how much junk and unpraiseworthy stuff is on the news? Turn it off. Turn it off. And listen, you want to listen to something? Listen to what I sent you already, you know what, on the power of, I'm just saying it, on the power of not looking at your circumstance. That you should just listen to over and over and over again. And let me tell you what, that is praiseworthy. That is true. And you start, get that down in your spirit, and all of a sudden you're not going to, because many of you, you've thought that what you, it's so hard for you to walk by faith and not by sight. Here's why, because you've been walking by sight for so long, you can't listen to this one time and get it. You got to listen to it over and over. It's got to get down deep in your spirit till it becomes exactly who you are. Oh, I just listened to it once and I got it. No, you don't. You listen to it over and over and get it. Such a powerful teaching. Such a powerful concept. If you just do that one thing. Watch, look at this next verse. This is now let's learn. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace, who's going to bring, listen, if you got peace, you're going to have joy. But here's what you got to act like me. That's what he's saying. What do I do? I tell you what I do is if there's something praiseworthy, that's what I think about. If there's something true, that's what I focus on. If there's something virtuous, that's what I think about. Okay, what am I saying? Paul is saying, imitate me as I'm an imitator of Christ. But I love this because he is walking in holiness. And so here's what he says. Do what I do. Amen. Act like me. The things, not what you just heard. The things which you heard and received and heard and you learned and you received and you heard and you saw me. Amen. I'm not talking about do as I say, not as I. No, he's saying, you saw me act this way. You saw me meditate. Now, can I show you this? I've shown you this before, but it's so powerful. Some of you never saw this. Look at this next verse. This is Paul, and this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Now, don't forget, we're talking about joy. We're talking about one way that you can increase your joy level from a 3, you know what, to a 9, and you can do it immediately. If you just focus on that which is good. For our, this is the apostle. He says, do what I do. Here's what he says. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. He's not saying, listen, we're not afflicted. Yeah, we're afflicted. But let me focus what it is. It's no big deal. It's light. And let me tell you what it is. It's just going to be for a moment. Which is but for a moment is working for us a far more exceedingly. You see what you see his mindset? Not a more exceedingly, a far more exceedingly. Say those words together. A far more exceedingly. Here's what I want you to catch: his mindset. A far more. There's stuff going on, and there it's affliction. But let me tell you why I'm looking at this affliction. This affliction is not a bad thing. This affliction is a good thing. Why? Because let me tell you what it's really doing. It's working for us. We're being afflicted, but let me tell you what it's doing. It's working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. Yes, amen. Eternal. This affliction is light, and it's only for a moment, but it's going to do something that I'm going to walk in the blessings of this forever. Okay, are you catching this? Okay, now let's look at the list of some of his afflictions. What does he call his afflictions? What does he call his afflictions? Come on, everybody. What does he call his afflictions? Light. Okay, what are they? Let's look. Look what he says. Look at the list. This is 2 Corinthians 11. What's his light afflictions? Are they ministers in Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundantly. He worked really hard. In stripes, above measure. You know what stripes were? Stripes weren't like these stripes on his Chevy. Okay, that's not what the stripes. He didn't have, no. There were stripes on his back from the whip that whipped him. How often is it? In stripes, what? Above measure. You know what that means? Like a lot. Like so much, I lost count. Above measure. He stopped measuring it. It's above his clicker, you know what, that went up to 91 or 99. It's above that. It's above measure. I mean, that's a lot of stripes. A lot. I'm not saying it was 99. I'm saying he's the one who's describing this, and he says, it's kind of like him saying, I just lost count, guys. It's a lot. I get beat all the time. You'll see it. Watch. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, what? In deaths, what? You know, they stoned him to death, and they walked away, and we don't have all the accounts, but you know they stoned him to death one time, and they walked away, and you know why they walked away from him? They thought he was dead. Wow. You know what he did? He gets up. He walks back in the city. He catches his breath. And then he goes back to the city where they sent out these guys to do this to him. And he preached the gospel there. In deaths, often. I don't know how much often. Often means a lot. Okay. From the Jews. Where did I get it from? From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, minus one, 39. Next. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I have been in the deep. That's in the middle of the ocean. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robber, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil, sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold nakedness. All this he describes as what? These light afflictions. Now let me tell you what. Why does this man walk in the supernatural power of God? Here's why. I read it to you in the first verse that we had. That we talked about. Here's why. Why did he see all the supernatural stuff happen? Here's why. Because he saw things properly. Because he would not whine about a cheese sandwich. He was disciplined enough to always figure out. Let me tell you what the good point of this is. Let me tell you what's good about this. Let me tell you what's great about this. Let me tell you what is awesome about this. At one point, he's in prison, and he says, let me tell you why it's good that I'm in prison. Because people are seeing what I'm going through, and I'm getting all these people saved in the guard with the guards. They're all getting saved, and that testimony is now spreading to everyone else, and now all kinds of people are getting saved. Amen. He's figuring out what is good about his situation. I'm just asking you, and we'll close with this. What is your joy level? Because let me tell you what, if it's a 3, I love you guys. You are restricting the supernatural power of God in your lives and in the lives of others around you. And here's the good news, I'll get in the positive. You don't have to restrict that. What you do have to do is make a decision that your joy level is going to be a 9 tomorrow. Amen. You do have to do that. Can I tell you what? God has called us to the supernatural. And we will walk in the supernatural as we, the supernatural level and our joy level, there's a direct correlation between the two. And I trust and I decree and declare that as far as this place, we are filled with people that have joy levels of 9 and 10. In their work, at their workplace, at their home, going home, on the freeway that's crowded, bumper-to-bumper traffic, that we are not moved by our situations, but we are moved by the joy of the Lord. It is our strength, and it will be our strength, and we will increase our joy level, and we will be the ones who determine that, I tell you what, I am not going to be that person anymore. Am I smiling? Okay, I have one more question to ask, okay? How many of you are just not morning people? See? You're learning something. Tamara, can you come on up here?
I would have been one to quickly raise my hand that I wasn't a morning person. But I can honestly, I don't know what I am. I'm anything I want to be. That's what I am. Because I'm a very non-morning person, married on a scale of 1 to 10, he's a 10 morning person. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a 10, not a morning person. And we ended up married together. And one morning, Pastor Drew imparted some wisdom to me. So we had a morning where we were just ourselves. And I just told him, hey, man. Back up. I'm just not a morning person. No, we justify it. And I was back up. I'm just not a morning person. And I basically, got a small sermonette on how that wasn't okay. You know what I mean? To just wake up and be a Krabby Patty. So that's, you know what? Here's what makes us, listen, either the Word of God is our final authority, or it's not. And so in certainly I know, okay, well, that's true. But you know what I mean? As long as I'm going to be called out on it, and that's what we need to do. We need to call ourselves out. Sin is sin. And if you can't reconcile a lot of our things that we do, you know what, with the Word of God. That's why keeping score with yourself is really, really important, because you know you better than anyone else. And so if you'll just call that stuff out, then you'll be able to change it. I'm not a morning. I mean, I'm good either way. You know what? I'm more of a night owl. I don't like early mornings. But let me tell you something. If I'm up early in the morning, I'm very pleasant to be around now. It doesn't matter whether you wake me up in the evening or the morning. I'm good to go. You know what? One way or the other. And that's how it should be. See, whatever tendencies we have. You ever heard that? We had a guy in the church one time, and he used to drive me kind of nuts, because he would, you know, those personality, those psychological personality things. Oh, you're a blue. Oh, you're a red. You're a yellow. You're a white. And he was always going around, and one day he just got on my nerve trying to tell me what I was again, and I said, excuse me, actually, you know what I am, to be honest with you, I don't, No, I'm not like that at all. Let me tell you what I am. I'm a rainbow. I'm all of that and then some. And here's why. Because if we have a tendency one way or another, you know what? Then if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you need to change it. See what I'm saying? So whatever strengths or weaknesses we have in those personality things, and those things, let me tell you something about those things. And then there's also one, you've heard about the four temperaments. You know, there's the sanguine, and there's the phlegmatic. You guys know this stuff? Ugh. So it's okay. That stuff, can I say this? It's interesting. But it is not defining of who I am. Because if, I don't even know what I am, and I want to know what I am, but whatever I am, let's just say I'm a, I am a rainbow. I'm talking about those colors. But I'm talking about the four temperaments. Whatever those temperaments are, let me tell you what. The ones that I excel in and the ones that I don't excel in, the ones that I don't excel in, I need to excel in. I need to figure it out and start excelling. That's why we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Because if I have a weakness where, you know what, I'm not loving the morning, you know what, then I need to strengthen myself, you know what, through Christ. And that's exactly what strengthened me. I called it sin. I knew it was wrong. And as soon as, you know what, I got called on the carpet on it, you know what I mean? Then I had to deal with that, and as I'm dealing with it, it's like I deal with it from the Word, and now I'm not that person anymore. So does that make sense? And that's what we all need to do. So whatever our tendencies are that don't line up with the Word of God, we need to line them up. Amen? Amen.